week 5 of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, how are we doing this week?
You know how I'm doing, Kelly. I'm doing great. Another weekend of college football, some more intense college matchups. I got to say, I'm looking forward to the pick'em this week. We still haven't picked the Purdue Boilermakers. I thought for sure we'd make the list, Purdue-Minnesota this weekend. A little disappointed we're not, but still some great games ahead. Look forward to talking some football as always.
There are some great games, high-profile matchups, very excited. We also have some weather down in the Gulf, the Florida area, the southeast region of the country, affecting some college football games. Obviously, the football is secondary in that situation, but this is a college football podcast, so that is what we'll be focusing on. More on that later with one of our games directly being impacted. But before we get to the games, we have a special guest with us today, as we always do. On this week's episode, we have a college sports expert for the Action Network and the head of U.S. content for OLGB. He is Big Bets on Campus podcast co-host, Michael Calabrese. Michael, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, although I was led to believe this was a Weather Channel-only podcast. I have all of my notes now that got thrown out the window. I was looking at the European model. I had a lot of good stuff to bring to the table, but if you guys insist, I'll talk college football this week.
With a last name like Calabrese, I expect nothing less than weather commentary and humor there from you, Michael. Michael, you and I have known each other for a little while now. I mean, going on maybe two and a half years on Twitter. You've been a great follow that I've really enjoyed over the years. We're so excited to be able to have you on the podcast with us this week. If you wouldn't mind, just take a moment or two and share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, your path, your current role. How'd you get started at the Action Network into the betting, college football betting space? Just tell us about yourself. We'd love to hear it.
So for about the last 6 years, I've been working in content marketing for separate, tech companies in New York City. And throughout that time, I was maintaining my side hustle, which was always writing on college fantasy sports, covering the betting sphere in college basketball and college football in particular, and really kind of being a jack of all trades wherever I could find work. And slowly over time, there's the way I like to describe it, the Venn diagram of people can write about sports and talk about sports on TV and radio. That center is a little bit smaller than you would think. There's some people who I really respect in the industry who have almost zero interest in being on live TV and radio, where you have to be really succinct and kind of on point at all times. And then there's others who that's all really they want to do, and kind of the grunt work and grinding out your power rankings and, you know, putting together all the metrics on a week by week basis is a little bit exhausting to them. So as I kind of climbed the ladder a little bit and did local radio and TV in the Philly area, I started to get some momentum, and that coincided with the passage, you know, the Supreme Court case with sports gambling, which opened the floodgates on a state-by-state basis for sportsbooks to start sprouting up. And what that really has meant is there's now an insatiable appetite nationwide for sports gambling coverage. Everything that's discussed from a preview perspective, it's kind of incomplete unless you're basing it on the point spread and the money line odds and kind of balancing it for the readers in that way. At that point, I made an introduction to my, you know, really kind of selling myself to the Action Network. My cousin Matt is actually their senior podcast producer. He produces all of their top programs. And through that, you know, they gave me, you know, an opportunity to get my foot in the door. I was covering really small college basketball games. One of the first pieces that I put together for them was SWAC and MEAC teams traveling more than 1,000 miles and how that impacted, you know, betting lines and their overall performance against the spread. And from there, it kind of spread into not only covering college basketball, but college football. And luckily, you know, Stuckey and Colin Wilson have done such a great job really putting the whole brand on their back and adding credibility to the Action Network over the years. And what they've done with the Big Bets on Campus podcast is make it one of their flagship programs. And what they gave me an opportunity to do last year with Mike Iannello was to go through and do a group of five deep dive. So every single week, we simply discuss the 65 teams, you know, in the MAC, AAC, Sun Belt, Conference USA, and Mountain West. And what we found is that not only were people interested in that, but really you start to see the fan bases, you know, of those schools really start to get into it. Got great engagement, some great download numbers, and, you know, a pilot, you know, 3 to 4 episode situation has now turned into a full-time gig there. And then, you know, just quickly to kind of set the stage for what I do for OLBG, it's a gambling site out of the UK. They've been around since 2002, and they really built themselves a niche in terms of covering, you know, British Premier League, everything soccer related, you know, across the pond, horse racing as well. And slowly over time, they built up more credibility across, you know, just 20, 25 different sports. It's amazing the appetite of European gamblers, what they want to get into, from snooker to Gaelic soccer to rugby. And now they're finally really putting an emphasis on breaking into the U.S. market in Canada. So they brought me in at the beginning of September to kind of fortify their coverage there. So not only do I cover American sports and college sports, but also politics and entertainment. So really anything that you can bet on in the UK, they're getting into. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of everything that I'm covering currently.
Michael, you just touched on so many different things. I literally jotted down four questions and I could have wrote down four more. So tell me, back to your college basketball days, did you ever cover the Horizon League by chance? Any of the Horizon League teams?
Yeah, I mean, what's a Friday night without Horizon League basketball? So I'm certainly in there. You know, I actually had an instance where I was on the road working for one of my tech companies, and I bumped into the soccer coach from Green Bay, Go Phoenix, and just kind of like
Jeremy.
The friendships you make along the way, it's incredible, and it's one of the reasons I love to travel across the country. It's because having an encyclopedic knowledge of the towns and the mascots for all of these schools, it's the quickest way to go from being a stranger to, you know, having a friendly conversation. Horizon League basketball, near and dear to my heart, and certainly from a college fantasy basketball perspective, we're now entering the 15th year for my college fantasy league. You can't build a profitable team without having at least one player from Detroit Mercy or, you know, throwing in an Oakland guy here or there.
Oh my gosh, Michael, as our listeners know, I am an assistant commissioner at the Horizon League, so I have a vested interest in that league. I also oversee men's soccer, so very familiar with the Green Bay coach, as you mentioned, and I oversee men's basketball as well as our basketball championship. So Michael, March 6th and 7th, 2023, if you're in Indianapolis, please come on out to our basketball championships. We would love to have you. You also mentioned Philly. So you're originally from Philly. Are you still in that area, Michael? Because I noticed on your Twitter handle, which remind everybody where they can find you on Twitter as well, I noticed you and maybe it's your wife, you guys are decked out in Colorado gear. So how's that work, a guy from Philly being a Colorado fan?
So first off, no disrespect to Colorado, not an actual fan. I do organize a trip between 15 and 25 people every year. We go to a different major college football game. We were at Folsom Field about 4 years ago. Just got back from University of Tennessee. Couldn't recommend that highly enough. Got to be a part of the Vol Navy, take a little trip on the boat before kickoff. Knoxville, great town. I actually grew up in the Overbrook area, you know, West Philly right there in Marion on City Line Avenue. So I unfortunately, St. Joe's, my hometown team, has not treated me all that well in the last few years, but we have moved out to the main line, live close to Villanova now. And it's interesting. A lot of people always like to ask me, you know, who's the team that you really pull for? And I think you hear this answer a little bit more with Major League Baseball fans, who they might say, I just love baseball. I'll go to any game. I'll cover any game. I'm just in love with it. That's how I feel about college basketball and college football. I have sentimentality towards teams like St. Joe's, but for the most part, I'm really interested in those storylines that haven't got the national love quite yet. And it's one of the reasons I love the mid-majors for college basketball and the Group of Five for college football, because by the time the NFL draft rolls around, there's people always like, I can't believe this wide receiver, you know, is so talented. Look at this highlight package. It's like, yeah, I'm very familiar with Sky Moore. You know, I probably watched 15 of his games on ESPN3. So it's always a fun time of year to give the love to those players.
So you are a St. Joe's graduate, Michael? That's what you're doing for?
So my hometown team, I actually went to Loyola, Maryland, not exactly known for their college football prowess. I think we're undefeated since 1934 when we shut the program down. Great lacrosse program, college basketball, we're consistently ranked. You know, there's those weird U.S. News and Report and MSN articles, worst college basketball arenas in the country, Reitz Arena, bottom 10. But always hopeful that maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle, keep one of those Baltimore kids home. Great high school college scene, you know, when you put it all together with UMBC and everybody else. But yeah, that was where I ended up spending the last 3 years of college. I was actually a student assistant with the University of Missouri football program my freshman year. I went out there for journalism school, and I think when I finally got to see the sausage being made, the assistant coaches were some of the hardest working people I've ever met in my entire life. I was like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. So here I am on the other side of the business covering them.
Gotcha. I have vivid memories of the St. Joe's, the old Phil Martelli coach, St. Joe's basketball teams, all those NCAA tournament appearances. They were always a premier mid-major college basketball team, had a lot of fun, good run. And you mentioned you were down in Knoxville. You said great experience this last weekend for this Florida-Tennessee game.
Oh, tremendous. I've been to 44 college campuses for games in my life. This was borderline top five. I think what really kind of throws it over the top is not only the unique experience of the sailgating, being able to party on the boats before kickoff, but also just the town itself is really nice. And you can see it was a fan base and a town that was waiting for a team like this to finally get them back into the top 10, which they've now accomplished. I think University of Tennessee really should never be a program that should experience what they have in the last 15 years, given the buy-in, the finances, the history of the program, and also the geography of the program in terms of the recruiting footprint that they have. So it was really nice to see the Vols back on top.
I bet. I got a buddy of mine who does a trip with his dad every year to a different college football stadium, now going to Utah, USC in Salt Lake City in mid-October. So not a bad alternative, but I'm sure that was a great experience. But I wanted to ask you, Action Network, I first heard about them back, I think, in 2015, 2016. They were a sponsor of Pardon My Take, the Barstool podcast. I was a big listener of those guys for quite some time. I still record all of my bets on Action Network. Green Dot City, you're always looking to see those green dots on the weekend. You guys produce tremendous content. How long have you been with those guys now?
So over 3 years, in terms of actually hosting the podcasts with Mike Iannello, the Group of Five Deep Dive, this is year two. I'll also be back this year for the College Basketball Podcast, which is a continuation of the Big Bets on Campus podcast. We break it into three or four different episodes a week, and I'm on Mondays where we do, I don't even know if we have an official title for it, but it's always SWAC Mondays to me. So getting those Florida A&M games in and streaming games on Facebook Live, that's what we're getting into. But it's nice to deal with Stucky, who is absolutely an encyclopedia of college basketball. He has hot takes on coaches, officials. He, you know, has the recall of a Jedi Master to be able to talk through some of those teams with such specificity. So to be able to do a show with him is really special. And he, as I mentioned, he's one of the OGs of the Action Network. I believe he was the very first content hire.
Wow. Very cool. I've shouted out Action Network a whole bunch last year on the podcast. I tell everybody, anybody gambling, go follow Michael. Go get yourself signed up with the Action Network. The content, the betting analysis, the ability to track your own progress to see how you do. It's second to none in the industry out there.
I appreciate that. And I think they've worked really hard on the tech side of things to make sure that it stays that way. You know, some of their innovations, like the real-time tracking of the probability of, you know, your money line, your spread, your total, those kind of things were kind of the benchmarks that a lot of other companies have copied. But really it comes down to presenting as fresh content as possible to really be a resource. Because I think at the end of the day, a lot of people say, is it easier or harder to win in the sports gambling community? And I would say it's really just a matter of the filters that you're using, the content that, and data and metrics you're using. But eventually, you're the decision maker. It's not all that different from traders who are using a Bloomberg terminal and they're, you know, reading industry reports. You need to make an informed decision at the end of the day. So it's important to bring in as many resources to bear as you can.
You heard it here first, straight from Michael's mouth. Use K-Ford Ratings exclusively for your gambling content, and you will absolutely be a winner every single week. Of course, I say that in jest. Michael, I do have two more questions for you before we get into picking some college football games. You mentioned your Group of Five podcast that you do, The Deep Dive. I got to ask, because I've always wondered about this. People classify it different ways. As someone who has a Group of Five podcast, do you classify the Independents minus Notre Dame? Notre Dame, in my opinion, is a Power Five program. But the Independents minus Notre Dame, are they classified as Group of Five? Because they're not technically in the Group of Five conferences, right? But do you guys loop them in there or no?
Every once in a while, we will loop them in there. The fact that, you know, UConn is playing a little bit better this year, I think makes them an interesting dog this weekend in particular. Liberty as well. I think if Liberty was in a conference like the Sun Belt, you know, the potential boost they could get in terms of recruiting, they would certainly be in the mix to win the Sun Belt. They're of that caliber. And certainly as long as they can hold a coach of the caliber of Hugh Freeze. But in terms of Notre Dame, yes, we put them out in the Power Five landscape and don't really cover the Fighting Irish.
Yep, absolutely makes sense. I'm in that same boat. When I refer to Group of Five, it's obviously the Group of Five conferences, as well as then those independents that are not called Notre Dame. My final question, Michael, here. You talked about your work with OLGB being over in the UK. You talked about Premier League. Have you adopted a Premier League team through your work with them, working closely with people from that side of the pond? Do you have a team now?
I have not yet selected a team. I think it's critical that I do so and make the right choice. It's intimidating being on a Zoom call with, you know, 13 Brits who are looking at me as someone who refers to it as soccer and has no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to the jerseys or kits or on the pitch. But I do have a few friends who are very passionate about the English Premier League. So I think it'd be nice to kind of have everyone give me their best sales pitch on who I should root for. But really what I want to avoid is I don't want to pick the Dallas Cowboys version of it or the New York Yankees. I don't want to pick the easiest one who may be trending in first or the one that, you know, just generally has the most bandwagon fans. I'm certainly happy to take a little pain with my selection if it takes, you know, 10 to 15 years to finally be in a position to win. Is it a cup? Is it a trophy? I don't know exactly what it is. I'll have to refer to Ted Lasso to get it all figured out. But whenever that comes to bear, I want to make sure I pick kind of a middling team, but not quite on the edge of relegation.
I love it. And I ask because I am a massive Leicester City supporter, have been since they won the championship or the Premier League title back in 2015-16. That is the reason I became that a fan. So I did jump on that bandwagon. It's been great since. Haven't missed a match since. We are currently dead last, 20th place out of 20 teams with 1 point through seven matches. Massive game coming up this weekend against Nottingham Forest, our biggest rivals who have returned to the Premier League for the first time in 20 years. So there you go. There's your pitch for Leicester City. Hopefully we can avoid relegation this year. I certainly think the Foxes will. But Michael, you guys ready to talk about some college football here?
Let's get into it.
Awesome. All right, we got 10 games to pick. As always, we're going to do it confidence point style. First game, Kinger, let's start with you on this one because it's a big game in the Big Ten. We've got Michigan going on the road to Iowa. Kinger, what does Vegas have on this game? And then go ahead and give us your analysis first.
Yeah, Michigan's the 10.5-point favorite, over-under sit at 42. And let's just be honest, guys, this just screams like it's going to be a boring game. Michigan absolutely thrashed Iowa last year in the Big Ten championship game. A little bit different teams, but over under 42. This is a Michigan team that's the highest scoring offense in the Big Ten. Granted, they really haven't played anybody yet, but to have over under 42, it obviously shows they're showing a lot of respect for this Iowa defense. And they are very good. You always say you want to bet the under in these Iowa games. I think I would lean that way. I'm really looking forward to the battle between the Michigan offensive line versus the Iowa defensive line. Michigan averaging over 6 yards per carry this year. Iowa only allowing 2.21 yards per carry. The end of the day, I think Michigan is going to do enough. The defense has been more than formidable. They just need J.J. McCarthy to be efficient. They don't need him to put up big numbers. Just take care of the ball, limit the turnovers versus that Iowa secondary, make a few throws on third and medium. Ultimately, I think Michigan gets this done pretty easily this weekend. So I'm starting off. I'm taking Michigan with 10 confidence points.
Wow. All right. I'll take this one second since it is a Big Ten game. Kinger and I from Big Ten country, Big Ten school, support Big Ten schools. Guys, this game for me, it's Michigan. Kinger, you're taking Michigan for 10. I'm taking them for 9 confidence points in this one. The Iowa offense is dreadful. We know that. Their defense is fantastic. It's been fantastic for a couple of years now. It doesn't matter, though. This Michigan team, they struggled a little bit with Maryland, but I think that was good for them to get kind of that test out of the way before going on the road to Iowa. Crazy things happen at Kinnick Stadium. This game early in the day, not a night game. I think that helps Michigan here. I've got Michigan, guys, as the number 4 team in my power ratings. Iowa, number 37. So they have jumped back up into my top 40. I'd say really more so to do with the teams around them falling than Iowa necessarily rising. But it's a 75% win probability. I like Michigan in this game by about 9.5 points. So give me Michigan, and I'm going to take them for 9 confidence points. Michael?
I'm going to go against the trend here. I mean, I'm only going to dip my toe in and put 1 on Iowa, but I think that's okay. The right way to allocate the points here. Now, listen, let's not break up the Iowa offense. 54 total points in the last 2 weeks, you know, white hot by Hawkeye standards. But I'm going to say this. J.J. McCarthy was supposed to be this dual threat quarterback who was going to change the Michigan offense a little bit. I haven't seen it yet. And honestly, I think even against, you know, lacking competition, he's looked a little bit, I don't even know the right, I wouldn't say go as far as to say gun shy, but he's had some issues where it looks like he's playing not to make any mistakes. And against this Iowa team, you have to be very much locked in to move the ball down the field because they don't give up a ton of big plays. So you're going to have to string together those 7 and 8 play drives to have scoring drives. And Blake Corum has been incredible, but for the most part, he's been carving up really weak run defenses. So I think in terms of the overall analysis of this game, it'll be a mucked up low scoring game in the teens. And I think all of the pressure obviously is squarely on the Michigan Wolverines' shoulders here. An early kickoff, I'm going to go with the Hawkeyes, you know, like I said, just for 1.
That is respect right there, mixing it up right off the bat. So to recap this game, Kinger and I both on the Wolverines. Kinger using his 10 spot. I am on Michigan for 9. And Michael taking the Iowa Hawkeyes for 1. Michael, we'll start with you in this next one. We're going down to the state of Mississippi. Kentucky going on the road to play Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin down there. King, what's Vegas think about this game?
Ole Miss is a 6.5-point favorite at home, over under 54.5.
All right, Michael, there you go. That's what Vegas thinks. What do you have to say about Kentucky at Ole Miss?
I know Rodriguez is back, or at least, you know, in some form, they're going to work him back into the lineup here. But this Kentucky offensive line is not good. And I think this is the first time they're going to run into real issues with it. They're 101st in stuff rate allowed, 128th in sack rate allowed. And on the other side, I think Ole Miss is showing me a lot of versatility, particularly in the run game. Quinshon Judkins has clearly grabbed that running back starting position, with Zach Evans also banged up. 238 yards in the last 2 weeks, 4 touchdowns. And Jackson Dart also showing some mobility there as well. I think that added element on the ground is going to help them move the ball against a really good Kentucky defense, one that Stoops has built into a perennially good defense. I think Ole Miss gets it done. I'll go ahead with 4 confidence points here.
I think I saw that they're closing the Grove at like 6 o'clock local time down there on Saturday. I think they're expecting some of that weather from the hurricane to be impacting Oxford. Not until after the game, but it's still early in the week. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Things could still change. So hopefully this game goes off as scheduled on Saturday. We don't have to adjust too much, because I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a phenomenal game. You've got 2 really good teams here. But I'm going to use another big number. I'm going to have Ole Miss in this game. I'm taking them with 8 confidence points. I've got Ole Miss as the 13th best team in the country. Kentucky number 29, which is really, really good for Kentucky standards. But I think Ole Miss just too much. They are at home. I like them by 9 points in this game. It's a 74% win probability. So I'm taking Ole Miss, and I'm taking them for 8. Kinger, what about you?
Yeah, let's keep it interesting. I'm going different from you guys here. I got Kentucky, and I got 4 confidence points. I'm with Michael. I am a little bit concerned about that Kentucky offensive line. This is probably the worst offensive line Kentucky has had in 3 or 4 years now. Already allowed 16 sacks on the year, most in the SEC. That Ole Miss front 7 is definitely deadly. They've got some playmakers there. But I think Chris Rodriguez Jr., that bump is going to do wonders for that Kentucky rushing offense that's really lacked this far. And Will Levis, he's been incredibly impressive to me thus far this season. I was a guy starting the year, I didn't really see the NFL hype with him. I can say my opinion has changed on him slightly. I honestly see this going pretty similar to the Florida game a couple weeks ago. I think Ole Miss might be a little bit too one-dimensional. I haven't seen enough from Jackson Dart yet. So I picked against Kentucky a few times this year and last year, and they burned me. I'm not going to do it again. Give me the Wildcats with 4.
Man, I love this. We've already got more disagreement through 2 picks than I feel like, King, sometimes we have in a whole episode. So this is phenomenal. To recap this game, Michael and I both on Ole Miss. I've got him for 8. Michael for 4. Kinger taking the Kentucky Wildcats for 4 confidence points. This next game, I'll go first. We have Oklahoma trying to bounce back this week after their home loss to Kansas State last week, going on the road to TCU. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this? Oklahoma and TCU.
Oklahoma's a 6.5-point favorite, over under 67.5.
Okay, 6.5. I like Oklahoma in this game by 5, so a little bit less than Vegas does. I'm very curious to see how Oklahoma bounces back. Like I said, very surprising loss last week, in my opinion. I know we shouldn't be surprised because Kansas State seems to just have Oklahoma's number, but in terms of what I'm looking at going into the game, Oklahoma had the edge across the board. I was very confident in them last week. That actually graded out. I posted on social media on Tuesday this week the biggest, best wins of the year so far in 2022. That Kansas State at Oklahoma game graded number 1. Only a 35% chance the average top 25 team, by my numbers, would have gone to Norman and got the win. That is the best win of the 2022 season so far by my numbers. I do expect Oklahoma to bounce back. I still have Oklahoma as the 9th best power-rated team in the country this year. They are down a few spots after last week's performance. TCU comes in at number 27. It is at TCU, so it could get interesting there. Again, I've got it as a 5-point game. This could go either way. It's a 64% win probability for the Sooners. So I'm going to take Oklahoma. I'm going to take them for 4 confidence points. Kinger, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a little higher in Oklahoma. I'm very interested, again, like you said, to see how they respond after getting blown out. Oklahoma hasn't lost back-to-back regular season games since 1999. Thought that was a pretty crazy stat, 23 years. on paper, this looks like a bounce back game, but TCU has been pretty, I guess, surprising this far. Max Duggan, been a lot of questions to him last year, but he's been off to a great start this season. He's top 10 QBR nationally, 77% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns through 2 games. Ultimately, I think Oklahoma is going to find a groove in this offense, this TCU defense, specifically the secondary, although there's some pretty decent names in that secondary. They have not played well thus far this year, allowing a lot of yards on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's going to be some vengeance with OU. I think they are going to find a way to make some stops from TCU. So I'm very high on them this week. Give me Oklahoma with 9.
All right, Michael.
I'm going to go Horned Frogs here. Going to go 3 confidence points. This is all about Joe Gillespie. One of my top-rated defensive coordinators in the entire country. He was up to his old tricks last year. SMU was killing it through the air and did an incredible job protecting Tanner Mordecai, dating all the way back to last season under Sonny Dykes. They never could lay a hand on this kid. They get 3 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. They force him into 2 interceptions, critical in their 32-34 victory over SMU. I think they're going to be able to stymie this Oklahoma passing attack, and I think they're going to put Dillon Gabriel under duress for a lot of this game. And you touched on it, Kanger. Listen, Max Duggan, I'm as shocked as anybody. I was all in on the Chandler Morris experience. He didn't look very good in about a quarter and a half of play against Colorado. It's kind of covering my eyes for the, you know, Duggan train to roll back into the station. And he's been absolutely perfect. And to be honest, when you pair it with the running game that has exceeded expectations, I'm really bullish on TCU to throw an even larger monkey wrench into this Big 12 race. Because if there's any Power 5 conference that seems to be totally up for grabs right now, it's the Big 12.
The Big 12 race is phenomenal. I am so excited to see how it plays out. Texas and Oklahoma, the two teams, by my power ratings and by many out there in the preseason, as your favorites, not overwhelming, but your favorites if you had to pick two to be in the Big 12 championship game, both already with conference losses. It's going to get wild in the middle of the country, guys, and I am here for it. This game absolutely going to go a long way with that. To recap this one, Kinger and I, both on Oklahoma, Zach taking them for 9. I'm taking the Sooners for 4. Michael going the other way, taking the TCU Horned Frogs for 3. Michael, let's bring it right back to you here. Speaking of the Big 12, we're going to keep it right there. We've got Oklahoma State going on the road to Baylor in what would be, back in the preseason, I mentioned I had Texas-Oklahoma kind of, or Oklahoma and Texas, rather, kind of 1-2 in my power ratings. Not a big gap between those two, not a big gap between them and the next two, those next two teams, Oklahoma State and Baylor. So here they are squaring off this week as well. Kinger, what's Vegas think of this game? And then we'll kick it to Michael for the analysis.
Baylor's minus 2.5, over under 56.5.
All right, so let me just tee it up this way. What does the group think of Spencer Sanders as a quarterback? You know, because it's not just a small sample size from this year. It's been an entire career.
Overrated.
Thank you very much, Kinger. I appreciate you for taking the bait on that one, because he is absolutely overrated. Yes, they killed Central Michigan. They killed Arizona State, who subsequently killed their coach. And they played Arkansas Pine Bluff. I don't care. I don't care how he did. You know what I do care about? A defense that was a world beater last year, now without Jim Knowles, you know, exported out to Columbus, Ohio. They're not the same defense. They don't have the same scheme. They don't have Malcolm Rodriguez making 20 tackles a game. And here comes Baylor. If they had snuck out a win in overtime against BYU, the national perception would be maybe this Baylor team is just going to win the Big 12 every year. Everybody, I think, pulled back a little bit too hard on the reins on this particular, you know, Baylor squad. And I think their win in Ames last week was more impressive than they got credit for, because that was a game where they needed to slow down Hunter Deckers. They did. They forced him into some bad decisions, and arguably the best game as a full-time starter for Blake Shapen. So I'm going to go with Baylor here for 5 points. I think they, you know, take a stranglehold of the Big 12 race as much as you can through 2 games and get a win over a team that, I mean, they had some absolute battles last year. Couldn't have come down closer in the Big 12 championship game. I think they get this win by less than a touchdown, but they get the win.
I just wanted to say, I mean, Michael hit the nail on the head for me. I was one of those guys, hand up. I backed off of Baylor after that BYU loss. And one of the first things I thought this week is I think I'm back on the Baylor train. And Spencer Sanders, he's been a guy for 2 years now. When he's good, he's great. But when he is bad, he's bad. And if you look back at these 2 Baylor games last year, 7 interceptions in the 2 meetings. Dave Aranda has had Spencer Sanders' number. This is the same style that Baylor's going to try and do as they did last week. They're going to try and slow the game down, control the time of possession, keep the ball out of Oklahoma State's hands. Baylor defense, they're still good. Yeah, they're missing Jalen Beatry and a couple guys from that team last year, but this is still a great front 7. some absolute hosses on the D-line that can really stuff the run. I'm going with Baylor again this week. I'm not too high on them still because I see a route in which Oklahoma State can score some points and keep this. But give me Baylor at home with 3 confidence points.
I was going to say, Kinger, I was going to let you go second. We ended up doing it anyway because I was going to jump in. I have nothing to add to what Michael said and now what you said too, Kinger. Welcome back to the Baylor train, Kinger. I never went anywhere despite the overtime loss. Predictive analytics suggested this Baylor team was going to be just fine. I still have Baylor as the number 14 team in the country. Oklahoma State, number 19, so it's still really respectable Oklahoma State team. But this is at Baylor. I absolutely love Dave Aranda. I like Baylor in this game by 5. Give them to me for 64% win probability. I'm taking Baylor, Michael, just like you. 5 confidence points. So to recap this one, we're 4 games in, guys, and this is the first one that we've all had agreement on. King, I love the differentiation that we've had so far, but in this one, we all see it the same way. We're all taking Baylor. Michael and I on the Bears for 5. Kinger on the Bears for 3. We're going to get out of the Big 12 for just one game. One quick break out of the Big 12 for a big-time game in the ACC. I'm not sure at the beginning of the season that folks would have pegged this game here in Week 5 as being such a big game in the ACC, but because of how the season's unfolded, particularly for Florida State, this game definitely has center stage. King, let's start with you. We've got Wake Forest going on the road to Florida State. What's Vegas think? What do you think, King?
Yeah, Florida State's a -6.5 at home. The over-under is at 66. I mean, this is a fun game. Very much looking forward to watching this game this weekend. Florida State looking legit. Wake Forest looking like a completely revitalized team that has ACC aspirations since Sam Hartman came back, and he's just slinging the football around. Number one pass offense versus number one pass defense. I think Wake Forest is going to score some points. On the other side of the ball, I think Jordan Travis has been a pleasant surprise in the ACC. I think Florida State's going to put up some points. Ultimately, I think this is going to be a shootout. Florida State, if they can run the ball, kind of control that time of possession again, they're averaging almost 6 yards per carry on the ground. Wake Forest defense, not been a strength, but they've been a little bit better this year. I see this being very similar to this Clemson matchup, and I'm actually taking Wake Forest with the upset on the road. I'm taking Sam Hartman. Give me Wake Forest with 1 confidence point.
Okay, Kinger, we're going to disagree on this one. I like Florida State in this game. This Wake Forest defense still just not very good this year. Same story as last year. Offense great, defense is not. Guys, Florida State, to me, I don't even know what the AP has them. I think they're somewhere around number 20. I don't pay any attention to that. They are criminally underranked, though. Based on what Florida State has accomplished this year, in my most deserving rankings this week, I have Florida State number 4 in the entire country. They are behind Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia, who just so happen to be my top 3, not necessarily in that order of my power ratings as well. But this Florida State team, very accomplished in what they've done. I continue to be impressed by that neutral site win in week 1 against LSU. That's kind of the feather in their cap at this point. But even predictively speaking, Florida State, the better team here. I've got them as number 21 in the country. Wake Forest is number 46 for me. This game is at Florida State. All of that being said, this is still a inexperienced Florida State team when it comes to having experience in big-time games, big-time moments, being nationally relevant, right? It's been a few years for this program. So I would not be surprised if Wake Forest makes this a game. I do like Florida State in this game by about 8 points. So I'm taking the Seminoles. It's a 71% win probability. Give me Florida State for 7 confidence points. Michael, we need you to break the tie.
So I grew up, you know, following college football in the early 90s when I fell in love with it. And Florida State obviously was the dominant program in the ACC. You know, they went years and years before that upset loss on a Thursday night to Virginia, the Barber brothers, all of that. If you had told me that home field advantage would not really matter that much to Florida State playing Wake and that Wake would come in as the established program, that's, you know, the upside down world in Stranger Things. But here we are. And the Wake Forest offense, to me, they were a team, you know, the vaunted claw fence, you know, so-called. They were a team that ran up stats on some lousy teams in the ACC, and then they'd run into a Clemson and lose 51-3. They almost dropped 50 on that Clemson defense. You want to talk about the actual performance versus the projection. I thought that Clemson had a top 3 defense. There's still a chance that they do, but the fact that they just gave up 45 points to Sam Hartman and that, you know, slow play action offense, I always thought that they just kind of had their number. So to me, even in a loss, that confirms that they have the best offense in the ACC. So I'm going to go ahead and take them in this spot. I'm going to take Wake for 7 points. There's an FSU team that I still think this is kind of a jump up year, and they may be in front of their skis a little bit because, yes, they beat Louisville and Boston College in the last 2 weeks. Not all overly impressed with that. And they played a great first half against LSU and then held on for dear life once LSU finally got things going. So for me, it's still a wait-and-see situation with the Seminoles, whereas Wake, even in a loss, that proved to me that they are a contender for the ACC title this year. So I'll take the better team in my eyes.
I think you have to factor in the Mike Norvell head coaching decisions as well. I say there's been some examples over the last couple of years that maybe you can question some of the decisions that he's made. The close games, I don't know if he's the guy I want making those important decisions. So I agree with you there, Michael.
King, remind me, I know you said it already, what's the spread in this game? What's Vegas half?
Florida State minus 6.5.
Okay, so Florida State by nearly a touchdown, both of you taking Wake Forest to win outright. I'm shocked by that. I mean, that is, I love that. It's great content. It's going to make for a very exciting competition between us this week. I did not expect to be the only one on a money line, essentially, taking a 6.5-point favorite at home. But here we are. I love it. Let's recap this game. We've got Michael and King are both on Wake Forest, the underdogs, to win outright. Michael, pretty confident, 7 confidence points. King are right on that middle. He's got it for 1. I'm on Florida State by myself for 7 points. So I'm hoping you guys just gave me 7 free points, but we will see how that plays out for sure. Extra eyes on that game for me now, given the stakes that we just put down. I'm going to take this next game first, guys. My affinity for Matt Campbell is well stated. The storyline of the Kansas Jayhawks cannot be overstated in this game. We've got Iowa State going on the road to Kansas. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this game?
Iowa State is a 3.5-point favorite on the road, over under 57.5.
Iowa State by 3.5. I have not seen, is this game sold out too? That was a big thing last week on social media. They sold out the game. Have they announced that they reached the sellout yet? If they haven't, I'm sure they will. I haven't seen it though.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, so I assume they haven't reached it yet, because I feel like we'd all see it as soon as that happens. So at least as of Tuesday night, have not. I fully expect Lawrence to be sold out yet again for this game. My numbers are directly in line with Vegas, guys. I've got Iowa State by 3.5. Iowa State, to me, is the number 28 team in the country, predictably speaking. Kansas, number 52. They are up nearly 50 spots from their preseason rating. Their preseason ranking for me and my power ratings was like 99, I think. They are now number 52. This gives you an idea of how good the Big 12 is. They are still 10th out of 10 in the Big 12. Number 52 in the country is the worst team, power rating-wise, in that entire conference by my numbers. The Big 12 is ridiculous this year. On average, they are better than the SEC. They do not have the 2 top heavyweights that the SEC has, or even 3 if you want to put in Tennessee there for me, as maybe that third team in the SEC, better than any team in the Big 12. But top to bottom, nobody can touch the Big 12 this year, according to my numbers. I've got Kansas all the way up, guys, to a 71% to go bowling. That is incredible, because at the beginning of the year, I had that at 1%. I went back and looked today. So they are all the way up to a 71%. All they need is 2 more. I don't expect them to get it in this game. Kansas has been the team that's overachieved preseason expectations the most. They have 2.1 more wins than expected, but I'm still taking Iowa State in this game. 60% win probability. So give me Iowa State for only 2 confidence points. Michael, what about you?
I'm going Billy Bob from Varsity Blues. I give it a 10 on Iowa State in this one. Per Bill, okay. Bill Connolly from ESPN, his SP plus numbers. The Jayhawks are giving up 2.4 points per drive. That's 95th nationally, and 5.6 yards per play. That's 82nd nationally. This is going to be a shootout. Hunter Deckers was one of the players I identified as a breakout star back in July. When you look at his numbers, given the fact that he had to play an Iowa defense that puts you in a vice grip, and then playing against Aranda and that Baylor squad, I think it's tamping down his potential. This is a game he explodes. I'm locked in for 5+ total touchdowns. I think Kansas, the ride has been fun. It will continue to be in some shootouts in Big 12 play, but I think this actually lines up. I got a better coach, a better quarterback, and an offense that I think is going to be able to take advantage of a really porous Kansas secondary. So I'm going to go 10 full points on the Cyclones here.
I'm going to join you guys. Very simple for me here. This is the first time, I just want to say, this is the first time in that I can remember that one or both of these teams is just not absolute complete garbage. It's, you know, the last mainly been Kansas, but Iowa State has had their fair share years as well. This is a tough one for Iowa State last weekend versus Baylor. It's not one I really hold against them, because I think Baylor still is showing that they're the real deal. As we talked about, this is far and away the toughest challenge Kansas has faced on the defensive side. Iowa State is one of, if not the best, in the Big 12. Daniels has been great, but this is a different Iowa State defense, only allowing 2.7 yards per rush. That's where Kansas has had a lot of success, is running the ball. And on the other side, Kansas defense, unfortunately, still has a lot of holes. I'm with Michael. Dexter's a guy that I see making steady improvements. I think Iowa State has something to prove this weekend. They're going to bounce back. So give me the Cyclones with 5 confidence points.
All right. So to recap this one, we are all on Iowa State. Michael, the most confident, using his 10 spot. Kinger on the Cyclones for 5. I am taking Iowa State for 2. Let's take it down to the SEC. We've got Texas A&M going on the road to Mississippi State. Big game in the SEC West. Kinger, what does Vegas think about this? And let's start with you, too. What do you think about this SEC West showdown?
Yeah, Mississippi State's a 3.5-point favorite. I think it actually moved to 4 tonight. The over-under is 45. This is trending to be a pretty low-scoring game, right? We know how this A&M team wins. That's by shutting down opponents, hoping the offense can do just enough. Mississippi State, on paper, have a high-powered offense. They've looked very solid at times this year. Will Rogers can sling it. But at LSU a few weeks ago, when they actually played a good defense, they got shut out pretty heavily, only scoring 16 points. I think A&M, they're just going to drop a lot of DBs in coverage to let up some yards, try and limit the explosive plays, and try and make Mississippi State run the ball a little bit. A&M just lost another weapon, Anaya Smith. So they're going to try and rely on A-Chain this week. Mississippi State down their best run stopper. I think A&M scores some points, but I'm going to take Mississippi State to do just enough at home this week. Give me the Bulldogs with 2 confidence points.
Michael, what do you think about this game?
So if this is the time to cue up sound effects, get the kazoo sound effect ready, because Will Rogers torches bad defenses. 15 TDs, 2 picks against Memphis, Arizona, Bowling Green, kazoo noise. I don't care. This is not a bad defense. When you look at what he did against LSU, they hold him to 214 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, low yards per attempt. That's exactly what's going to happen here. It's going to be a boring game, a game I don't want to watch. A-Chain's going to get a ton of carries. They're going to be able to grind it out, you know, I'll say 24-17, something like that. But a game that's not as close as the final score indicates. And I think this is just the fraudulent time that Mike Leach pops up, where they put up huge stats against their non-conference schedule, and then they come slamming back down to earth. So I'll actually go A&M for 8 here.
All right. So I need to break the tie here. Michael, you hit the nail on the head. I have this A&M defense as top 5 right now, a top 5 defensive unit in the entire country. Overall, I have the A&M team as the number 25 power-rated team. They are going on the road. I do have concerns about that offense. They found a way to win last week, to their credit. I mean, I picked them in that game. I did not – if you would have told me how that game was going, if I would have just seen it and not known I picked them before, I definitely would not have felt confident picking them after knowing how that all went down. But they did end up pulling through. I agree with you, Michael. I'm not sure it's going to be the most attractive game. It's still going to be a very intense game, and I'm excited to see it. I've got Mississippi State as the number 20 team in the country. They are at home, as I said. I got them like by 4 points in this game. It's a 61% win probability. Somehow, some way, just like last year or last week, Texas A&M found a way. Somehow, some way, Mississippi State going to get it done, in my opinion. I'm taking the Bulldogs. I'm taking them for 3 confidence points. So to recap this one, Kinger and I on Mississippi State, I'm taking them for 3. Kinger taking Mississippi State for 2. And Michael going the other way, and he's pretty confident in it, taking Texas A&M for 8 confidence points. Michael, we're going all the way out west for this game. We've got California going on the road to Washington State, a Washington State team looking to bounce back this week. Let's start with you, Michael. But first, Kinger, what does Vegas think about this game, Cal at Washington State?
Cal or Washington State is a 4-point favorite, over under 53.5.
So this is a surprising potential Pac-12 North game of the year. If you told me that in, you know, June, I would have laughed you, you know, right out of my office. I want to see Jay Knott in this game. Let's forget about the analysis because I don't have many confidence points wagered on it. But Jay Knott's breakout game last week, and now he's facing a Wazoo run defense that's just so-so. They have a ton of points in the second half to Oregon. Cam Ward throwing 60 times into a completely average Cal pass defense. I think this could go either way, but I like the way that they got Ott involved in the running game. A lot of power sweeps. He's a great cutback runner. I think he's going to run circles around this Wazoo run defense. I think they find a way to win a high-scoring game. I'll go for Cal for 2 confidence points here.
All right. Michael's on Cal for 2. Like you, Michael, I don't have a whole lot to say about this game. I'm also not very confident in it at all. These two teams on a neutral field, I would have no idea who I would be taking. I've got Washington State as number 59 in the predictive numbers. Cal, number 60, put in the home field advantage, though it comes out to about a 3-point favorite for me with Washington State. So give me Washington State, 59% win probability, basically because they're at home. I mean, that's as simple as it is. I've taken Washington State. I've taken them for one confidence point, so the lowest we can go. King, break the tie for us. Cal, Washington State.
Give me the Cougars for six. I think this is going to be an ugly, grinded down game. I mean, Washington State had a huge meltdown last week, allowing over 600 yards. They allowed 29 points to Oregon in that fourth quarter. Other than that, they only allowed 38 coming into the last week's game versus the Ducks. Cam Ward, you mentioned it. He's throwing it around everywhere. He's an incarnate word transfer, but he's got turnover issues. I think both these teams, they don't really have accurate quarterbacks. I see a lot of change of possessions. The Cougars have really struggled to take care of the ball this year. Cal defense steady, but nothing special. I don't really see that there's a lot of advantage one way or another, right? I think this is going to be kind of a typical Pac-12 dogfight. So I'm going to take the Cougars. I think they've got a potential first-rounder linebacker transfer from Nevada, Dayan Henley. That dude's an absolute beast. I think he's going to give that front seven for Washington State. I think we'll give Cal a little bit of trouble. I disagree with you a little bit there, Michael. So give me the Cougars at home for six confidence points.
All right, to recap this one, we got a split again. Kinger and I on Washington State. Kinger taking the Cougars for six. I am using my 1 point on this game. Michael taking Cal 4-2. This next game, guys, really exciting in the ACC. I hate my pick for this game, so I'm actually going to go last. I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. We've got NC State going on the road to Clemson. So, Kinger, we just went last with you last time. Let's go first this time. What's Vegas think of this game, and what do you think of this game? Huge one in the ACC, NC State at Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson's a 6.5-point favorite over under 40. So, again, projected kind of a low-scoring, grinded-out game here. North Carolina State edged Clemson at home last year. They're obviously trying to do it again on the road in Death Valley this year. I think we have a pretty good idea as to where both teams stand at this point. Both teams play good defense. I mean, arguably, you can argue that Clemson didn't really play good defense last week, but they're trying to fight to maintain offensive consistency. DJ had one of his better games last week. I will say credit needs to go him. NC State needs to win this game in the trenches. They've been pretty good with protection, but they don't run the ball well. We know how good that Clemson front seven is. It's can Devin Leary make the big-time throws when he needs to? He has not looked himself this year. I mentioned it last week. There have been improvements, but he hasn't been good either against either decent opponent this year, East Carolina week one, Texas Tech a few weeks ago. I think it's just going to be too much in Death Valley. Night game, national TV. I think Clemson's not going to lose back-to-back. I got them for 8 confidence points.
Michael, what do you think, NC State at Clemson?
So game of the century for NC State. I think, obviously, if they win, they're a legit playoff team. But some of the narrative, I think they got hammered too much for a close game against East Carolina. For those of you that watched it on live television, that was a hornet's nest they were walking into. Like, the East Carolina fan base was so fired up. There were some weird turnovers in the red zone, some special team stuff. I just think that was the perception. And then they go off the radar. They play Charleston Southern. They play Texas Tech. That now looks like a pretty good win to win by 13 points. Up against, you know, Clemson defense that's showing vulnerabilities, a team that they already beat last year, so they don't need to get over that emotional hurdle. And then kind of a Spencer Sanders situation, like, oh, is DJ Uiagalelei now all of a sudden the, you know, cemented QB1 and he's living? No, he had one good game in really his last 15 starts. And he did it against a Wake Forest defense that we can all agree is pretty middling at best. This NC State team, if it is a physical game, if it's a game they want to get Will Shipley the ball 20, 25 times and, you know, run into that linebacking core for the Wolfpack, I think that favors NC State. I've been bullish on them. I think I've been the only one holding the pennant waving for them this entire season, saying that even though they had to go into Death Valley, they were still going to win the ACC. This was their year to break through. So I'm not going to back down now. I know it's not going to be easy. I think they get it done with a field goal late in the game to win by 3. I'm going to go NC State for 6 confidence points.
I need to break the tie. I mentioned I hated my pick for this. Got to preface it with, I ride or die with my numbers. I mean, more times than not, it serves me well. There are times when I look at it and I think, man, I do not like this pick. This is one of those times. My number suggests, based on the 10 games we're picking here, we're picking straight up winners. My number suggests this is the game that I should be most confident in the winner. I've got 10 confidence points assigned to Clemson in this game. I like them by 10 points, so significantly more than the Vegas spread. It makes me nervous. Being at home is definitely helpful. I have Clemson as the number 5 team in the country, predictably speaking. Their rating went down after last week's performance. Their ranking went up because of the teams around them. So they moved up 2 spots, number 5, despite a rating that went down. NC State, number 26 this week in the power ratings. Most deserving, both these teams top 20. I've got Clemson number 14, NC State number 16, but that tells us nothing about how the game's going to go. If you would have told me even 2 weeks ago, hey, Kelly, which of these defenses is going to be better by your numbers at the time of this game, I would have bet a significant amount of money that it'd be Clemson. I actually have NC State right now as the better defense of these two units. Now, I do have that Clemson offense, despite DJU's struggles. I know he's played well a little bit here. I still expect to see Kay Klubnik at some point. I have the Clemson offense as a little bit better. So I'm taking Clemson. I'm taking them for 10 confidence points, but I really, really don't feel good about it. To recap this game, Kinger and I both on Clemson. I'm taking the Tigers for 10. Kinger taking Clemson at home for 8. And Michael going against us for what? Geez, this is the third game in a row we've had this breakdown. Michael taking NC State for 6. Michael, I'm going to tell you right now, we got one game left. You are either going to demolish us and just blow us out of the water, or you're going to be left in the dust. I'm very excited to see how it goes. It will likely be somewhere in between because we'll probably end up splitting these games if I had to guess.
I feel like if we split them back and forth with 10 points on Clemson, you got to go the full DJ experience. You got to wear the three-piece suit and the big golden medallion like you stole it from the Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon. You got to look the part. You know, you look good, you feel good, you play good, you know.
And you pick good, huh? So, yeah. We'll see how it goes. Kinger and I throwing a lot of confidence points down on those. We've got one game left, guys. I talked about it at the top. The hurricane, obviously, first and foremost, we hope everybody is safe and gets out of there before that hurricane gets to Florida. This game has been affected by that. It was announced today, Tuesday, that SMU at UCF, it will be moved from Saturday to Sunday. I believe it's a 1 o'clock kick. So for those of you who are NFL fans, you'll have to pick and choose. Hopefully I'm able to be down here in the basement with the multiple screens, checking them both out. If not, spoiler alert, I will be watching SMU at UCF because college football is king for me. I'll take this game first, guys. Kinger, what's Vegas think first off?
UCF is a 3.5-point favorite, over under 65.5.
UCF by 3.5. I like them by more than that. My numbers like UCF in this game by 6.5. I have no idea how the weather will affect this. I don't think any of us do, so I'm rolling with what my numbers say, weather notwithstanding. UCF for me, number 33 in the power ratings. SMU, number 48. A respectable team in the American. A top-tier American team. But UCF is better. They're at home. It's a 68% win probability. Give me UCF, and I'm taking them for 6 confidence points. Michael, let's go to you second here. Who do you like here with SMU on the road at UCF on a Sunday?
So on Sunday, I'll channel my Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel. After a hurricane, usually you get the absolute best weather. Like, it knocks out any clouds, any humidity. I think it's actually going to be perfect weather conditions. I actually got stuck on a college football trip in Gainesville when a hurricane rolled through. They canceled the game. That was one of those contentious Florida LSU games. They couldn't agree to reschedule it. Couldn't have been better weather on game day. So that's just a little, you know, insight into what I think the weather's going to look like when this game's actually played. But really, this is one of my top plays of the entire week on the over on 64.5, and it really comes down to pace. SMU, 84.5 plays per game. That's fifth nationally. UCF, no slouch in that department either. 81 plays per game, 12th. But honestly, in terms of picking a side here, the Gus bus is rolling. 298 rushing yards against Georgia Tech. 321 on the ground the week before against FAU, against an SMU run defense that just stinks out loud. 211 yards per game allowed, 118th nationally. And yes, Tanner Mordecai is going to put the ball in orbit a ton in this game, and he's passing into an average UCF pass defense, 30 or 40s in all the major metrics, but they can get after you in the pass rush, 37th in pass rush sack rate. So I'm going to go ahead with the Golden Knights here. I think John Rhys Plumlee, you know, kind of adds something other than the rushing element, which is really all he's done in the last few weeks. I think he's going to hit some big plays to Javon Baker, the Alabama transfer. So I actually like them quite a bit in this game. So I'm going to go with UCF with 9 points here.
All right, King, are you with us or no?
I'm with you. Don't have a lot to add here. UCF, they're 9-1 in their last 10 at home. SMU, going back to last year, been awful on the road, awful covering games on the road. Mordecai led the American last year in passing yardage. Can't say he's looked quite as good this year. And Michael mentioned it, UCF defense a little bit vulnerable in that secondary. That front seven still pretty good. I think Plumlee in that offense, they're going to be able to run over all over that SMU defense, allowing 5 yards per carry on the ground. Again, I was looking at betting this one, haven't seen it, didn't do anything with it again because of this weather and the exterior alternative conditions here and what we're going to be dealing with this week. But I think UCF, I don't think they lose another one at home this year or this week. So give me the Knights with 7.
All right, to recap this game, for only the third time in this episode out of 10 games, all three of us in agreement on the winner. We are all taking UCF. Michael, the most confident with 9. Kinger taking the Golden Knights for 7. I am on UCF for 6. So that wraps up our picks section, guys, but I know we're very excited, Kinger, to hear your best bets and Michael to get your insight as well, given your background in this space. Kinger, hit us with your best bets for this week 5 college football.
Yeah, actually, I like a lot of plays in our games this week. So I'm on Kentucky plus 6.5. I mentioned that to you. You said you are at Ole Miss by 9, I think is what you said, correct?
Correct. I do like Ole Miss there, so I'd go against you on that one.
I'm going Oklahoma on the bounce back, minus 6.5 at TCU.
I'd be against you on that one as well.
Iowa State, minus 3.5 on the road. Minus 3, I'm sorry, at the road at Kansas.
So they're minus 3. My numbers do like them by 3.5, so I would be with you slightly on that one. Good news there.
Okay. Wake Forest to cover the 7 at Florida State. If I'm picking a money line to win, I got to bet them to cover as well.
Ooh, not me. I like Florida State the other way, as we talked about in that one.
Cal, Washington State, under 53.5. Both quarterbacks, neither are very good there. I think this is going to be a grinded out game with a lot of turnovers. I'd be shocked if that game hits 50.
My number is key, 50.5, so I'm with you on that one on the under.
Okay, and then the last one. This is the Armed Forces game. Air Force is laying 14 at home versus Navy. Navy looked pretty good last week. They were able to beat that ECU team that gave who did they give fits week 1? We just talked about it. NC State fits week 1. But I think that this pretty good against the run. Navy is only allowing 3 yards per carry. But I think this Air Force team and Brad Roberts, it's a different level. Air Force had a little bit of a slip up versus Wyoming week 2. But this is still a team that should compete for the Mountain West. I think they blow out the midshipmen this week. So I'm rolling with those 6 bets to start. We'll see how we add to the card. Kelly, honestly, we've been so alike this year, and the gambling hasn't exactly gone how I've wanted it to up until this point. So maybe some parity this week will bring some good vibes. I'm trying to see Green Dot City this week, Michael. I need to see those green dots. It's been a little bit of a battle.
I love that, Kinger. I'm with you. My number's like Air Force by 18.5. So I think there's quite a bit of value there at minus 14 with Air Force. Michael. Well, first, thoughts on any of those games that King laid down, but second as well, what sticks out to you this week on the slate, if anything?
I mean, I had a few slight disagreements, but I'll go for 2 in particular. One, I love the Iowa State play. Let's get aggressive. Let's alternate line that up to minus 10, you know, maybe in the plus 220 range. I think if they're going to win, they're going to win going away over a Kansas team who finally, you know, gets pulled back to reality. And then for that Commander-in-Chief Cup, you know, battle, I always hate laying points in those games because both defenses know exactly how to prepare. So there's no strategic advantage in that way. I know that Navy has struggled a bit in the last 2 years, but this just has the feeling of a game that's a one possession game somehow late. Cause Air Force was a team that I was really, really bullish on. I'm still scratching my head about that loss to Wyoming a couple of weeks back. So that just gives me pause. It's more of a pass in that situation.
Right on. Well, Michael, anything else to add, Michael, outside of those scopes that sticks out to you, or no?
Well, I mean, if you'll have me, I'll throw in some of my top plays of this week.
Please do. Please
and
do.
I'll add them to the card. All right.
Here we go. Well, you know, you may want to hear
we got,
first,
yeah, we got to see. Yeah.
Okay. So I've been laying in the weeds just waiting for Kent State to not be playing a top 7 offense in the entire country. And it's finally coming this week against Ohio. This opened at 7. It's already bubbled up to 11. I don't care. I'm on the Golden Flashes here. Colin Schley, despite playing Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia, 6th nationally in QBR. And when you look at what they have on the perimeter in terms of weapons and then Marquise Cooper in the backfield, I think this offense is ready to pop. I think they're going up against a really, really bad Ohio defense. How bad are they? 92nd against the run. They are dead last in the FBS against the pass, 376.3 yards per game. They do have an incredibly nicknamed quarterback, Curtis Rourke. If you're not familiar, he is the Maple Missile. Coming down from Canada. Great name, but he's going to come back to earth. He had this huge, absurd game against Fordham last week. Fordham, 114th out of 123 teams at the FCS level in total defense. So I think Kent is going to score north of 50. I don't mind laying the 11. And then the other game that I like here, I think you're going to be interested in. It's a revenge game. It is not sexy whatsoever. It's out of the AAC. Memphis laying 19.5 at home against Temple. They stepped in a bear trap last year. They started 3-1, and then they lose outright at Temple. as an 11-point favorite. They lose that game by 3 points. So they're clearly not going to overlook the Owls in this spot. And I think Temple is getting all of this, you know, respect, at least in the gambling community, based on their defense. In the last 3 weeks, they've been masterful in terms of playing Lafayette, Rutgers, and UMass. But let me just run you through those three teams. Lafayette, dead last in the FCS in total offense. So absolutely the worst at the Division I level of the two subdivisions. Rutgers, 97th in total offense. UMass, 128th. Yes, they were able to hold those teams down to 14, 16, and 0. But I'm not sure that they're going to be able to hold down a Memphis offense that is really dynamic. They're balanced. They have a three-headed monster at running back in Thomas Ducker and Asa Martin, the former Auburn transfer. And Seth Hennigan is really building on a nice freshman season. He's got an 8-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, a surprisingly good receiving core. You know, losing Calvin Austin in the third, you would have thought they would have taken a big step back. But Rodgers, Lewis, and Ivory all with over 12 receptions thus far through the season. And you add in Caden Priestcorn, who I had never heard of, but this tight end is just killing his touchdown machine, 4 TDs on the season. So they're up against a Temple quarterback. They're starting a freshman because they had so many issues at the beginning of the season. He takes over. He was just 11 for 22 with 2 picks against UMass with a QBR of 29. Not great, and they can't run the ball, 2.8 yards per carry. I think this is all trending to a Memphis blowout at home, so I'm on the Tigers there. Those are my top 2 plays of week 2.
Sam, one more time for us, Michael, the winner and the spread that you got, the points that you're laying on both those.
Sure. I got Kent State laying 11 against Ohio and Memphis laying 19.5 against Temple.
Perfect. Kinger, I had him repeat it so you can add it to your card also so I could make
sure. With that kind of breakdown and analysis right there, there's no way I'm not adding it. There's no chance.
And I'm with you on Kent State there, Michael. I like Kent State by 12, so I would lean slightly toward you. And my numbers do like Memphis by 19.5, but I went in, I expanded the decimal point, stopped the rounding to get to that half number, 19.6. So I would lean with you if I had to take a side in that one. But given your level of confidence in saying that's one of your two top plays, Kinger, absolutely, we got to roll with that one. Michael, that was phenomenal. We really enjoyed having you on just in general. Not just those 2 points there at the end. Please remind everybody one more time, Michael, where can they find you? 1, on Twitter. 2, your podcast. 3, any writing that you're doing. I mean, just tell everybody, where can they find your work? Because I have a feeling our listeners are going to want to be keeping up with you moving forward.
Sure. So we'll start with Twitter, at East Breeze. That's B-R-E-E-S-E. Throw in all my plays there. Lots of off-season content as well. College basketball, before you know it, will be cranking up. During the season for the Action Network, I have multiple columns throughout the week. I put together my top plays. Also do a futures report every Wednesday with a few other writers at the Action Network, where we look at both the national title futures and the shifting landscape on the conference futures. And always hosting the Group of Five deep dive under the Big Bets on Campus banner. That drops on Wednesday afternoons. And college basketball season, I'll be back on Mondays with kind of a mid-major report with Stuckey and BJ Cunningham, who is a great follow on Twitter. His writing is incredible as well. And now that I'm started in earnest with OLBG across the pond, breaking down college basketball, college football, the NFL, full tickets every single week. So you can check that out as well.
Fantastic, man. Look forward to following your work. You've been an excellent guest. We got an awesome gig, awesome setup. Everybody go download the Action Network as well. Follow Michael. Get your picks loaded into the Action Network and start to take in all of the great content that they produce. Thanks for coming, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Michael, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. As always, this has been the We Hate Your Team podcast with Kay Ford and Kinger. Until next time, enjoy week 5 of the 2022 college football season.